The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When everyone is on the same page, getting things done is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that enables your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Hello, and welcome to the Celtics Lab podcast, a show where we like to get granular about all things Boston Celtics. And given that the Cs have added a Marcus Smart contract extension and an Evan Fournier trade player exception to the books, there's plenty to discuss. I'm Cameron Tebbs-Baya, your host, joined by Dr. Justin Quinn, to help us break down all the new Celtics news. We brought on a friend of the pod and a capologist extraordinaire, Hoops Hype's own, Yossi Goslin. Yossi, how are you?
Doing well, and how are you guys?
Doing okay.
Really warm, but I'll take that.
Yeah, I'll take that. I mean, a Marcus Smart contract extension. We'll talk about the nooks and crannies of the deal, but as a fan, I'm doing great. And to that end, in the lab portion of the programming, we will indeed take a look at all of the current roster and cap issues or opportunities facing the Celtics and what it might mean moving forward. But first, we're just going to go around the horn and discuss some of the recent events. And perhaps the most interesting thing anyways is that the bits and pieces of the NBA schedule was announced. The Celtics will open against the New York Knicks on the road, and they will play at Milwaukee on Christmas. Dr. Quinn, what are your thoughts?
Well, kind of predictable in terms of trying to get the revenge game action going on if you are going to get the Celtics involved. There were a number of notable snubs. I think the Miami Heat were pretty pissed off about not making the opening night game schedule. And if you're going to include the Celtics in it, this seems like the natural partner. I'm going to be really curious to see how the Christmas game goes, because as of present, as much as I am very happy with what's been done with the Celtics roster, I think we're still going to end up getting slaughtered come Christmas.
Yossi, what about you? I don't know who you root for in the NBA, but what about the opening day schedule or the Christmas schedule jumps out?
I root for no one. I used to be a Laker fan back in the day, but I've lost all attachment there. But I was a little surprised the Celtics would be on the Christmas schedule, to be honest. I was surprised them and Utah, just because I don't think anybody's going to watch that game. I think it's like the last game too. I think everyone's going to check out by then. We'll see, because I think Boston just naturally should do better than what happened last year. Mm-hmm. And they might, there's a good chance they do even better than, like, I think a lot of people expect them to be like 4-6. I wouldn't be shocked if they're better than that. So good chance that this game ends up being really good. But other than that, I guess no real big snubs other than like the Clippers. I thought they should have been on the Christmas Day schedule, at least over Utah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting to me. I wonder what sort of decisions go into that, because I don't always seem to understand them. But we don't have to worry about the Celtics getting waxed on Christmas for a while, but we can worry about a different Celtics team getting waxed just the other night. Boston, after their very fun, very wonderful Las Vegas Summer League run, just got their barn doors blown off by Sacramento to the tune of 100-67 in the final game of Vegas Summer League. So after all of that fun, all the Peyton Pritchard, all of the Aaron Nesmith, it all came crashing down. Dr. Quinn, you've been following this stuff. What did you think about that game, and what do you think about the Summer Celtics overall?
The Summer Celtics have been a pleasant surprise up until the end of the first quarter, when everything basically fell apart. I prematurely praised just how beautiful they were playing until it became one of the ugliest games I've seen in a very long time. Davion Mitchell is the real deal. Off game is the perfect nickname for him. I don't think that this is any kind of an indictment of Peyton Pritchard. Maybe scoring 92 points while you were trying to win a summer league championship elsewhere was not the best plan, as great of a headline as it was. But I was very, very happy with what I saw from Peyton Pritchard. Aaron Nesmith in particular, I think they're both going to be able to contribute. I would have liked to see more of Yamadar, obviously, and also Romeo Langford, who, you know, had some kind of an injury. I think it was a wrist injury, though, if I understand correctly, wasn't the same wrist or something to worry about.
Yossi, did you follow Summer League at all? Admittedly, no. I didn't.
I was at Summer League. I went.
Oh, fantastic.
I went from the 7th to the 11th. Didn't watch too many games, but I did catch a small glimpse of Celtics Cavs. So got to see a little bit of Pritchard Madar action. Mostly saw a lot of Orlando Magic. So I'm really in on Jalen Suggs now. I saw him do that crazy tip dunk.
Oh, fantastic.
I was aware of what happened last night. And that the Kings just completely. Weren't the Celtics up by like 20 to 10 in the beginning?
They jumped into like a 10-point lead pretty early. Yeah, they were playing so beautifully, and then they got totally locked down. It was brutal.
Didn't they have like 36 turnovers or something crazy?
And I think they out rebounded you guys by like 20 something. Is that right?
I don't remember what the rebounding advantage was, but it was ugly.
It was an ugly game. Yossi, can I put you on the spot? What is something about Summer League that you think the average NBA fan doesn't realize? Or like, what was something surprising about going to Summer League?
Just how open it was. You just walk around the concourse, you just see everybody as far as media people that work for teams, even players, mostly young players. And then you'll just, but then, you know, like I was, the spot was like the Aria. I would just be there, and I was in Park NGM right next door, and just walking around, just see so many like active players. I can't even think of like how many I saw. Celtics related though, I did see Kendrick Perkins playing some blackjack, which was it was awesome. But other than that, but yeah, just there's everybody there. If you're trying to break into the industry, just go, and you never know who you're gonna run into.
I have a memory as a kid of seeing Patrick Ewing in a casino and sitting at one of those tall blackjack stools. His feet were just on the ground. And that visual really stuck with me. All right, that's probably enough Vegas. Although one last thing, Tremont Waters seems to be done with the Boston Celtics. He joined the Rockets Summer League roster. So Tremont, we hardly knew you. And Carson, pack your bags, dude. Anyways, speaking of some of the younger people in the Celtics orbit, Dr. Quinn, you talked about him a little bit, and we've had our eye on him. Yamadar seems as if he is not going to come to Boston this upcoming year. He signed with Partizan Belgrade or perhaps Ratio Farm but I think that has been decided, Justin.
Yeah, he is going to join Partizan Belgrade. Played under, I'm going to murder his name, so please forgive me. He turned out a two-way offer, which is understandable because he's going to face comparable competition more or less and make way more money. And he'll play under, this is where I'm going to kill. I'm just going to say his last name because Zeljko Obradovic. I think I did that right. He's been known for developing guys like Bojan and Bogdanovic and Nemanja Bjelica. So this is a person we would want to see him paired with. It's not, you know, the highest level of basketball he could be playing in Europe, but it's still a pretty high level. They are going to be a Euro Cup team. They want to get back into the Euro League, if I'm not mistaken. And he's not gone. Madar is not gone. The Celtics still have his rights and they can buy him out. It'll probably cost him more than the $250,000. And it probably would have costed the Celtics more than the $250,000 that his new team had to pay to get him out of Hapoel Tel Aviv.
Right.
But I mean, really, ever since the Schroeder signing and that groin injury he sustained, it probably sealed his fate, even if he had looked, you know, better and had more playing time than he did.
Well, the Celtics are just so loaded at guard right now between Smart, Schroeder. Pritchard's going to be the third stringer, like he'll kind of split with Schroeder. So that's a really big lockjam right there. You got Dunn, who knows what's going to happen. And you still got Carson Edwards, so I could understand why Yam might want to like just wait a little bit, wait for that point guard rotation to shorten a little bit before he decides to join.
And I will say, he is a string bean. I mean, he's just a kid, and
when I saw the Celtics, and I thought, like, I remember seeing on TV, I thought Peyton Pritchard was small, and like he definitely beefed up a little bit. But no, Yamadar was like a twig compared to him. It was stark.
Yeah, no, he looks like a kid at like a Celtics charity camp. So hopefully, over in Europe, he can. I mean, he is a kid. He can beef up. As someone who's in their late 20s, it kind of happens naturally. Anyways, I'm sure people did not come listen to this podcast to hear us talk about Yamadar's body. Let's jump right into the lab. Let's get our hands dirty. And let's talk about all of the interesting things that have happened since we last had an episode of the podcast. And Yossi, this is where your expertise comes in. So let's start with the Smart extension. He inked a 4-year, $77.1 million extension. It supposedly has a 15% trade kicker. Was that confirmed? Dr. Quinn's nodding his head. Okay, let's first, just from a basketball perspective, and then Yossi, I'm going to have you get in the weeds with the money, but just from a basketball perspective, and I'll start with you, Justin. How do you like the deal?
It's a great deal. Optimally, we want Smart on the team long-term. If it isn't possible to develop talent within or add a third star without moving a major salary, it's a very movable deal. If he turns out to disappoint or have some kind of a injury or, you know, backslide in his offense or whatever, it's still a pretty movable deal. It's not the kind of, it's not an unmovable deal. In terms of what it means for his role with the team, he's finally getting a chance to start. You know, that's something that he has never really had a chance to do. You know, you can make a very good case that that's what Boston should have done after Kyrie Irving left. Now we're going to see what he can do.
Yossi, let me ask you just from a basketball perspective, X's and O's, what do you think? But then also, this kind of closes the door on the max cap space dream. Why do you think the Celtics went this route?
As far as a basketball fit, we'll see. It'll be interesting because if the Celtics start rolling and Marcus Smart is killing it as a playmaker and just continuing, it had a little bit of a down year, but maybe picks off from where he was the year before. Mm-hmm. And it'll just be funny how like the Celtics really had their point guard all along, but they went with the other options instead. So hopefully that works out. As far as the money, I feel like he's very properly paid. Very hard to find precise value. It's always someone, either the team's got the advantage in the deal or the player's overpaid. Feel like he's pretty properly paid. And I think there's definitely, I do have some Marcus Smart fans that think he should have went to free agency, gotten, deserves even more money. And I get that. I'll say this, like, I'm keeping track of the cap space projections for 2022. It's going to be, if you thought 2021 was boring, next offseason is going to be very slow. Like, all the same teams are going to have cap space. There's only like five of them. Boston's now no longer going to be one of them. So if the market's going to be that low, if you're a player, just lock up your money if you're happy with what you can get now. And I think he ultimately made a great decision. Most likely, if he did hit free agency, we probably still get around the same, but might as well just lock it down now. You never know. So I think he made a great decision. Now, as far as what they had, they really, as far as cap space for 2022, they never really had that realistic of a path to get max cap space for like Bradley Beal or Zach LaVine. And the main reason is they have Al Horford. Mm-hmm. He's got a $14.5 million partial guarantee. So if you just like with the roster, if you how it was before the Smart extension, if you waived them, took that guarantee, then you probably get to like 20 something mil.
Right.
But if you stretch it, then you get closer to 30. And then if you just got off him completely, then it's something like 36, 37 mil, mm-hmm. which is still not enough for Beal's max, but I think it should be enough for LaVine's. Now you're putting Marcus Smart in at 17 mil. So now your path to cap space just got a lot harder. If you get off Horford completely, you're only able to get to like 19 mil based on what I'm looking at. So at that point, do you really need to have, what are you going to get with 20 mil? You might as well just keep Horford just by the way I'm looking at it. But on the bright side, they do have a lot of space below the tax, so they can still do a lot of stuff. I think their path to getting either a third really good guy or just another great starter would probably be through trade. Right. And see how their young players develop. They still have all their picks going forward. They've got a lot of expiring contracts in Richardson and Schroeder, Dunn. Soon these guys will all be able to be aggregated together. So we'll see what the Celtics do. It'll definitely come through trade though at this point, if whatever next great player they get.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about the traded player exception, the Fournier one, in just a moment. But because I think a lot of people still have their eyes on Beal, which personally I don't get it. But Justin, maybe I can ask you this. What do you think the Smart signing does for the possibility of Beal, the Wizards, and the Celtics doing a sign and trade next summer?
Well, we could talk about the potential to absorb additional salary, which for Beal specifically, I think would be pretty critical because they're going to want to move some of the contracts that they have. Davis Bertans, probably, for example, he would fit into a large trade exception we can discuss in a moment. But I am not entirely sure that Beal is going to necessarily be the target either, but it does put us in a good position to work with the team, as Yossi was saying, to help them clear salaries with all these expiring contracts. It could happen as soon as the deadline. I don't expect it to. I think that they're going to be keeping their eyes on something that is going to be perhaps less onerous to make a deal for, if they even make a deal. As we've discussed in the past, I think there is a good chance they play the year out, see what they have in these youngsters, see if they can really increase their trade value, or maybe, you know, keep them.
And to that end, the Celtics went ahead and made things a little bit easier to perhaps execute, maybe not a blockbuster trade, but a pretty interesting trade nonetheless. I didn't really see this as on the table. And, you know, the Celtics, even with Danny Ainge out the door, have been operating in relative secrecy, which is kind of cool. But Evan Fournier went ahead and wanted to sign with the Knicks, and the Celtics and the Knicks got together and executed a sign and trade. Because of Fournier's contract that generated a 17.1, I think it's like 4.7, doesn't really matter, traded player exception, which will be usable between 2 days ago up until 363 days from now or whatever it is. And it costs the Celtics two future second round picks, which on this podcast I've said very much so. I don't really care about second round picks. Let me ask you guys this. I was just thinking about this. The Knicks didn't need to do this, and second round picks are nice, but what do you think this says about Brad Stevens?
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Relationships in the league, because this isn't necessarily a favor to the Knicks, but this is something that New York did not need to do. Justin, do you think that this suggests that Boston has friends out there?
It suggests there is a lot less paranoia, I think, than there was doing deals with Danny. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget they also sent back $100,000-something because all teams have to basically touch each other in such a deal.
Right.
In this case, the second round picks to Boston sent out, as you said, were, one of them was a fake one. It was a top 55 Charlotte protected. And then I'm not even going to try to map out the other one, but it's the best of the worst of the best of the worst of something that's just going to be terrible, basically. So we're talking like a pick in like the 40s or 50s at very best. It's probably going to be near the end of the second round. And as you suggested, if you find anything there, then you did amazing. And it wasn't because you're good. It was because you were lucky, almost certainly. So yeah, this is a great deal.
I'm not sure if this has much to do with Brad having more friends than Danny. I'm sure he does so far, but it's like this very mob-like thing where a team will sign a free agent, like stealing him from another team. And now that team that lost the free agent ends up paying the player's new team to help them out. So the Knicks basically got Fournier and picks to help the Celtics out, get this trade exception. And the Celtics did this with Charlotte last year. That's the reason why the Hayward signing with Charlotte got so delayed. They were negotiating that. So they gave up 2 second-round picks to get that trade exception, then gave up 2 second-round picks to get Evan Fournier, and then traded another 2 second-round picks to create this trade exception. I don't know where these second-round picks are coming from, but I don't really keep track of it. So I'd imagine they might be running low at this point. But Cam, you say you don't really care about second round picks. So
they're actually only down a few of their own. They picked up a second round pick from the Tristan Thomas trade somehow.
Yeah.
They've been pretty good at picking up some ancillary set, not good ones. Like these were not good second round picks at all. I think at least in the Evan Fournier trade, there might have been at least one good second-round pick in there.
Yeah, that's right. I think one of them was like a fake second-round pick, which I guess still ammo in some way. But it's interesting how they keep rolling over these second-round these trade exceptions. So now Boston, like I was saying, their next big acquisition will probably come in a trade. So they've got that exception, 17 mil. They have the Tristan Thompson, just under 10 mil. They still have just over 5 mil of their Kemba exception. Mm-hmm. So right there, you've got a bunch of exceptions. Probably won't use all of them. And but one other thing I would note is that I'm not totally confident the Celtics will end up using all of them, if any, this season. And that's just because of luxury tax reasons.
You tell us with a little more specificity, first of all, for anyone who doesn't know the rules for using a TPE, and then also the season, to your point, why the Celtics might be a little hesitant to use a $17.1 million trade exception?
Well, they could acquire just about any player that fits within the trade exception plus $100,000 extra, no more than that. And as far as the main, but the thing is, whatever you take in, you're adding that salary.
Right.
Now, if they're going to just absorb a player straight up, then that's going to, without giving back any other player, then you're going to add more salary. And right now I've got Boston approximately 6.6 million over the tax. They'll probably they'll probably waive Jabari Park in the next few days. So that will drop them a little lower. But even then, if the Celtics, they want to build the best team for Tatum as possible in the future. And over time, they will become luxury taxpayers. But if they don't need to do it right now, it is best to try to avoid it, especially when they're that close to being under it. Right. Just because the more, when you're in the luxury tax for 3 of the past 4 seasons, then you're in the repeater tax. And that's when each tax tier goes up another dollar. So you're paying even more. The Warriors are paying like, their team's $360 million. They really didn't do anything other than sign 3 minimum guys and draft their 2 players. So you really want to try to extend, delay the repeater as much as possible. So that's the only reason. One thing I could see them doing, maybe salary dumping Chris Dunn closer to the deadline, that would drop them below. Maybe they could alternatively get off Fernando and Edwards. Off the top of my head, I think that should be enough, including waving Jabari. But that's the thing. I would be surprised if the Celtics do end up trading for someone with any of their TPEs that puts them over the tax. Like, it's got to be someone really good for it to be worth it at this point, in my opinion. But there's really like what kind of game changers can you get that are making between 10 to 17 mil? Like, there's maybe a few, but like realistically, not too many guys out there that's really gonna thread the needle like that.
Yeah, I put together a list a day or two ago, and the best names I came up with were Thad Young, Robert Covington, and maybe Jordan Clarkson. Dr. Quinn, I know you have Larry Nance on that list. And I think that all of those would take each guy's respective team not performing particularly well and that team becoming something of a seller, and then the Celtics just being on the cusp of contention and convincing themselves that, hey, it's worth paying the tax because look at us, we're going to the finals with one extra guy here. So, Dr. Quinn, how likely, given what Yossi said and maybe the players that are actually available out there, how likely do you think it is that they use the exception this season? And given that, what do you think that tells us about expectations for the season?
I think it's possible. I think that so a lot of things would have to happen for it to be realistic. Brooklyn and or Milwaukee would have to look shaky. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, whether it's an internal injury, as we saw with Brooklyn last year, you know, any of a million things. It would also require, you know, the kind of overperforming that Yossi was referring to. Like, they'd have to be at least a top four seed. I think for them to really go for gambling with being a tax team and potentially mucking up their books later on down the road, I think they would have to be a top three or even top two team, which is, you know, not impossible, but not very likely. It would, again, be dependent on one of the predicted top teams underperforming for some other reason. So it's not impossible, but I wouldn't say it's likely. I wouldn't even say it's, you know, 60-40 or 70-30. I think it's like a small chance, like a 1 in 10, 1 in 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suspect you're both right about that. And I think given in our past few weeks episodes, I don't think that, first of all, that's surprising, or second of all, that's even that worrisome, because now with Smart under a long contract, you kind of have your core three, maybe not best players, but most important players. So you don't need to feel squeezed.
So right now, I was saying with Boston, they've heading into next year, they're roughly 26 mil below the luxury tax if they keep Horford. Mm-hmm. So they could theoretically spend that Fournier exception and then either the Thompson exception, mm-hmm, and the MLE, they'll probably still end up over the tax when filling up the roster. But if they can, you know, during the next offseason, there's going to be more players available. So you'll open up a lot more options. Now, they might have a bit of a time crunch to use these exceptions because the Thompson one will expire on the first day of the moratorium ending. And then, mm-hmm, the Fournier one expires like July 17th, 18th. So, I mean, it's not, considering free agency goes by so quickly, they wouldn't, I don't think they'll have too much of a problem using these exceptions. But considering, it's better than just having the MLE to get like one guy. They can get two, even three guys next offseason.
Is there any reason to believe that maybe they'll swing a big trade, but there's anyone in free agency that they would add at this point, or no? It seems like they're basically done making moves.
I mean, you mean this free agency right now?
Yeah, this summer.
Probably they are at a full roster already.
Right.
Maybe they could do some kind of consolidation trade. They just can't do it yet. They got to wait a little longer for Richardson and Dunn to be able to be aggregatable.
Right.
But I would say that, definitely maybe closer to the trade deadline, I could see them doing something. I will say this. So Marcus Smart, he signed his extension. So he can't be, usually you can't be traded for 6 months, but he will become trade eligible starting in like January. So I'm not saying that the Celtics should go ahead and do that. I'm not saying, oh, they've got him on this extension now, so they could trade him later. No, I'm just saying that, you know, let's say, I don't know, Beal does become available. You might have to send out Marcus Smart. You definitely have got the salary and some value to make it a little more worthwhile for Washington. He is still technically trade eligible this year.
Yeah, and that trade kicker maybe makes him feel good, but we've seen people with trade kickers get traded before.
Right.
All right, let's let's get out of here on this. So we've kind of laid the cards out, and I think we've decided that, you know, this off season and this future season is all about flexibility with the possibility of a major upgrade. So given that, I'm going to ask you both to kind of grade what the Brad Stevens front office has accomplished. And Justin, you wrote in the notes general manager, but I guess we don't even know who the general manager is at this point. But just to hash for anyone who has been paying attention, the front office signed Ime Udoka to a coaching contract. They executed the Kemba Walker, Al Horford deal. They executed the Josh Richardson, Tristan Thompson trade. Cantor and Schroeder were signed. Smart was extended. And now this Fournier TBE. So given all of that, Justin, you don't have to go piece by piece, but how do you feel walking away from this offseason? If Yossi's right, there's probably no more major moves to be had. How do you view this offseason, this new Brad regime?
Pretty well. I don't think we could have expected much better. You know, we all want a big splash, but there is some concern about these star wings really truly being ready to compete for a title. And if they're not, it doesn't make sense to push all of your cards in right now. You know, we really need to have this culture reset. We really need to get the books in order and extend the window for the longest possible time. And maybe there's other ways you could have done it and done better. But as far as I could see with my ability to assess this effectively, this was a very good job, somewhere between A- and a B+. Mm-hmm. There might be hypothetical deals out there that I am, and, you know, people on my level of understanding of the cap don't really have, you know, readily available to our minds. You know, there could be something, some cap wizardry out there that could have done something truly amazing and mind blowing. But this was pretty close to that as far as what I expected to see, which was a pretty dismal, if necessary, offseason. And this has not really been that.
Yeah, Yossi, give us your unbiased point of view, because maybe Justin is just too much of a homer to see that this is a horrible offseason and the Celtics are doomed.
I don't think it's a horrible offseason. I think it's like pretty neutral, just because mainly I still don't understand what Brad Stevens is like short-term goal is right now with this roster, mm-hmm. other than I think he's trying to make it as competitive as possible while without breaking the bank within reason. But, you know, I just wish I could understand like what he's aiming for. Cause one, you know, it seems like they wanted to have max cap space and then they go ahead and extend Marcus Smart. Not that I'm against extending Marcus Smart. It just, you know, one path is more is leads you to getting like the third guy or so. And then now, you know, they have a little less flexibility, but they're gonna have to get much more creative now. So we'll see if he could, what he does, the kind of players he's targeting. Mm-hmm. I did tell you guys that I thought the Celtics could get a second round pick for Tristan Thompson, and they did.
Yeah.
I like that. not a fan of the Cantor signing. I don't know if you guys already discussed this on previous episodes. Don't exactly see. I mean, as a third stringer, I guess it's fine on the minimum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, again, and then just the Josh Richardson one, it's fine as far as just taking a swing on him and, you know, as just some type of wing who can play 20 something minutes. I think it was smart not to break the bank for Fournier. I don't think he's overpaid. Like I think that's what I expected him to get paid.
Right.
Just it makes more sense on the Knicks than on Boston. So it's fine for 1 year, but if I just wouldn't expect Josh Richardson to, I think everyone expects him always to be this really good two-way guy. That just hasn't been the case since he left Miami. As a 1 year rental, that's fine. I just would keep the expectations low. But then obviously the Dennis Schroeder signing, that's amazing value.
Right.
I am interested to see what the starting lineup or like the closing lineup ends up being. Cause right now it seems like it's going to be Smart, Richardson, Brown, Tatum, Horford. But assuming Richardson doesn't maybe they don't, you know, it doesn't really pan out to be like quite playable with those guys in the high pressure moments. I wonder if maybe they want to play a little smaller and go with Schroeder and Smart. I don't know. That might be interesting. Or maybe they trade for a power, one of those power forwards you guys mentioned, like Larry Nance or Thaddeus Young, and slot. And then you're a lot bigger, Smart, Brown, Tatum, this power forward. I think there's still a little bit more moves to be done. Just probably won't come till a little later than now.
All right, that's perfect. That's a perfect note to end on, because that's a teaser for future podcasts. I will say, I won't give my whole spiel on whether or not it was a good podcast, but I do know that like 4 weeks ago, we were talking ourselves into, yeah, maybe Jan Madar is going to be the second best point guard on the Boston Celtics, and now we don't have to worry about that. So, Yossi Goslin, you are a contributor for Hoops Hype and the co-host of the Hoops Hype podcast, and you know much more about the salary cap than I do, so thank you very much for coming on the podcast and helping us out.
Thanks for having me on.
Of course, we'll have you on as soon as the next trade or the next thing happens where the money is too complicated for my poor little brain. Also, to the Lexington High School students to whom I am teaching economics in the fall, good luck. Anyways, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.